The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Man Show. I am your host, Nathan Ross, CPA. And as you know, we start off each show by asking, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money or create significantly more wealth over the rest of your lifetime? And I'll tell you, if you haven't understood that yet, that's far more important, actually, than saving some taxes this year. You know, the tax savings, I know I've got clients that after the planning, after all the deductions, et cetera, are down in such a low tax bracket, you know, the benefit of those deductions is not nearly as extreme as the ability to create wealth by putting your money into the right investments. And I want to state at the top, I am not an investment advisor. I am an accountant that understands the math on assorted real estate private partnership structures, which are available to most people these days on a direct investment model. You don't need to join the platforms. I can't tell you how many emails, calls, texts, et cetera, I get after I say this, because most people still think you've got to stroke a big check to the old school, I'm going to call it travel agent-like, platforms that you join or used to join. I think the numbers are probably going down based on what I can ascertain. Join these groups that purport to hold the magic key to allowing you to invest in transactions that will, as I heard on the air just a minute ago, right before our show, you know, one gentleman did a 10x. I guess that's the favorite expression these days. You've got folks like Grant Cardone that are pitching the 10x methodologies. Anyway, this gentleman 10x'd his net worth in 7 years, and you know, it sounds impressive. The problem you've got with the platform involved is that a lot of things they say sound impressive until you dig in, scrub the cobwebs off of some of the old strategies, and then you realize, well, they're delusional in a sense, because they're still telling you, as an example, to give 30 to 50% of your net worth to the IRS day one, so that you can you know, free up your traditional 401 money and invest in real estate. And I guess we'll talk again today. We've talked about this many times. That advice is rather amateurish in the context of what Red Adair, the great Houston oil well firefighter, said many times through the years. If you think professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And if you don't understand the impact of giving away 30 to 40% of your family's net worth on the ability to retire, or better yet, to at some point pivot and do whatever makes you happy instead of going to the office, if that's not what makes you happy, that makes a lot of people happy. And I think Self-Made Millionaire overlooks that, because he wasn't happy going to the office every day. But Self-Made Millionaire didn't have a big 401. He said it himself on his radio show. And I'm sure you know who I'm referring to. But yeah, not only did he say, well, I didn't have one, he's indicated that $60,000 a year after tax is retirement. Well, it's not for my clients, not even close. And so if you're happy with those metrics, if you think you can live on $60,000 a year after tax, great. You know, sign up for that program. And even if you don't agree, You can still sign up if you have the extra 20 grand, and we'll help you exploit the math of that program. It does have some good features. I refer people routinely once we've put a lock on the vault that has their retirement savings in it, and we've got them ready to deploy without paying $1 in tax to the IRS because it's not necessary. And unfortunately, they don't tell you that. You may hear about it later. You may hear me on the radio on either the Saturday show we have here, Taxman show, or on Sunday, 7 a.m., right here on AM 700, the syndication math show. And we will explain to you, we will show you, we'll teach you why you don't want to give, if you, maybe you're already suspicioning you don't want to do that. It's not hard. It's called common sense. For us normal people, you know, the self-made millionaires don't get it because, again, they never had it. So they never had to sit down and stroke a check for a couple $100,000 on maybe a $500,000-$600,000 401. To them, it's normal to pay a little bit of tax maybe to free up, $30,000 or $40,000, which I think is what I heard self-made millionaires say at one point. And you know what? I would agree with you. If that's all you've got, you know, go ahead and cash it out. It doesn't hurt too bad to pay the tax on $30,000 or $40,000. But, you know, a lot of people join that program that have in excess of $1 million. The average is probably $300,000 to $400,000. And that's a big check. And if you want to see what that looks like, go to the BAPlanner.com website. That's BEAPLANNER.com. Scroll to the bottom. I've got a 401 math illustration that I prepared for someone along the way that had $350,000 and a 401. And I used a very short hold period on that to show you the impact. And it's still a heck of a lot of money that can accrue over the rest of your lifetime if instead of giving it to the IRS, you give it to a syndicator or a lead partner, as we call them, to put into an apartment transaction, a real estate private partnership syndication. It's insane that you would give your money to the IRS instead of investing it in these transactions. And that's just year one that you're going to save the $95,000 that's shown there at the top of that 401 math illustration in red. And then when you put that to work over the next 30 years at the average rate of 20%, and that's, you know, not in year one or year two, it's over the life of a deal, 6, 7, 8 years, where you've got some operational cash flows, you've got some refinance cash flow, and then you've got some exit cash flow. Add all that up, and if you're in many of the deals that I've worked on for my clients, you'll be somewhere in that average, right in the middle. 20%, okay, if it's not 20, maybe it's 16, it doesn't matter. It beats the market by far. You'll still double your net worth every, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, just depending on how close to the 20 mark. 20% would get you a doubling effect every 3.6 years. For those of you that say, well, gee, I don't see any private placement transactions or memorandums on these transactions where they give you the equity multiple in a 3.6 year increment. That's okay. Jot down the number 0.04630. That's your monthly equity multiple that you want to average. So that will let you calculate it on a different time continuum. Obviously, if it was a 5 year turn, then it'd be 60 times 0.04630 to get the number that you're seeking on an equity multiple that would double your money still over 3.6 years. It's just it would extend for a longer term. And, you know, having that, you'll be on your way to understanding how these transactions work once you start looking at them. And you won't be fooled when you see the deals out there that tout a 4.0 equity multiple over, hold on, over 10 years. Well, that's quite a bit below what we're seeking. I know it sounds good, but you've got to consider the length of the transaction before you get too excited. Okay, we're coming up on a break. We'll be back here in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about The 401 trust again, and we're going to also talk about the Roth conversion opportunity that is corollary to having a self-directed 401 trust, and we'll be right back.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to also mention before we get into talking about 401 trust and Roth conversions again, that just because you hear information on this show, it's not intended to be your tax advice. It could be some general tax rules that apply for many listeners, but not all. And so I'm going to suggest to you that we're not going to seek to entertain you as much as we are to educate you. And we're trying to help you achieve a much higher level of financial freedom than those that would otherwise have you rip the Band-Aid off of that retirement account and pay the IRS to get them out of your life. That's what I hear routinely. And I'll just tell you, it does anything but that. When you rip the Band-Aid off and you pay your tax, all you've done is ripped or taken a huge gouge out of your family's net worth. And now you're behind the eight ball even further. And as I said, you're starting the clock on a date with the IRS about every 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 years, which is what we refer to as the typical full cycle on one of these transactions. In other words, you'll buy it. There'll be several years of operational cash flows where your rents equal your expenses. You may have a refinance or two that come along, which you'll get a chunk of your capital back on. And then finally, you're going to exit it somewhere down the road. And, you know, again, you know, you're going to pay tax again when you exit, if you have a gain. If you do this after you thought you'd paid the IRS all the tax you'll ever owe, because that's how these amateurs explain it, is that you're going to get the IRS out of your life. No, you're not. all you're going to do is get the IRS out of your retirement plan. And there's other ways of doing that. And by the way, it costs no more tax-wise to do it the way that a professional will structure it for you. And at the end of the day, you're going to end up with tax-free income the rest of your life after you've told the government, just like you're doing in the rip the Band-Aid off approach, which, by the way, on the 401 math illustration at baplanner.com is the red side of that illustration. It's the fourth column. That's the rip the Band-Aid off. That's self-made millionaires approach right there. If you want to see how much that's going to cost you the first year and all the way over the next 30 years compared to the other options. Option one is going to be the option that most people would execute right now under current tax rates. Option three is what you'll execute once these rates start moving up, which is it has to happen sometime before now in 2029, because we've got a train coming. It's called the tax train. And we are blowing through the remainder of the discretionary portion of the U.S. federal budget. It will be expired. Read it as spent by the time we get to 2029, unless the tax rates pretty much double for most brackets. Okay, if you're in the what we call the middle class brackets, the 22, 24%, that bracket will need to double, literally, to almost 50% if we're going to solve the Social Security and Medicare conundrum. And Dan Dubose, CPA, one of my associates, and I discussed the federal budget last week, I believe it was, or maybe it's the week before. We'll do that again because it is startling how much of every dollar that you send in on taxes is literally already committed. There's like 4 cents left, I believe, under the current spending that can be devoted to things that aren't already on already approved. You know, Social Security, Medicare, military, other social spending, etc. It's already spent, and then some. You know, as you may know, this year's Treasury proposal, which probably doesn't have a chance. I'm sorry, this year's White House proposal for the budget, TY23 budget, tax year 23, it's $5.3 trillion, I believe, is the number. It's a huge amount of money, more than we spent in most years, or more than we've budgeted. And, of course, it's far more than we collect. And so don't believe it when you hear, oh, it's paid for. Yeah, it's paid for over 10 years with a lot of fictional savings. And they're not that much, or the savings component's not that much. So anyway, but back to what I was starting to say, you know, we discussed tax concepts. You're going to hear some suggestions. Don't go act on those. My show or any other show, run them by your current tax advisor. Make sure you qualify. The 401 trust that I talk about has qualifications. We'll go into that with you if we can get you to fill out our client intake form shown right at the top of our website. There's a link for intake forms. If you'll fill those out, we'll assess your specific facts and circumstances. If you don't have a planner, we'll work with you once we can get that information and we can give you specific advice. But in any event, the concept of the 401 trust is something that in the current custodial crowd, the IRA custodians, you will hear marketed as a solo K. So most of you are probably wondering, well, what is he talking about, this 401 trust? You know, I've heard of grantor trust. I've heard of, you know, revocable, irrevocable trust. This is not a trust that's promulgated by the state of Texas. This is a trust. It's a retirement plan trust that both the Department of Labor, who administers ERISA, which governs most pension arrangements, 401s to an extent, and the IRS have acquiesced to certain what we would call prototype provisions, so that when you buy or subscribe to a solo K, you're getting something, some flavor. It has the opportunity to have different provisions. You may, in fact, have a solo K that does not have a Roth side of the house to where you can do an in-plan Roth conversion where you can move money over from the pre-tax side to the Roth side without taking money out, without liquidating your partnership investments. All this can happen seamlessly with the right steps and with you having the ability to pay the taxes due on that conversion. And we'll talk more about that here shortly. But bottom line is, you know, you've got several ways of planning for retirement. And when I talk about the worst thing you can do is take your money out, think, you know, beat on your chest a little bit, make self-made millionaire seem important, because it's as insane as many of the other things that you'll hear in the private syndication partnership arena, that people will look you in the eye without blinking and tell you that, for instance, the fees are industry standard, or, you know, we're going to target this type of return for you. Target's a less aggressive term, I believe, than project or projection, because that word's kind of melted into the background now with this current crowd. They target a certain equity multiple, certain cash on cash return, certain internal rate of return, all these calculations that are confusing at best, that most syndicators can't even explain. And they make it sound like, well, you know, these are industry norms. And I guess I'm going to tell you, there's no such thing as an industry norm. The question is, are you making money? And, you know, these syndicators on the front end do their best to portray and project or target numbers that they know will appeal to you, while all the while they're paying too much for the property. Maybe they're co-syndicating with another sponsor, so there's additional fees involved. There's many things that are fuzzy in terms of the beginning to the end. And by the way, I don't care which platform you're looking at participating in or investing direct, there is no syndicator that is allowing a third party to come behind them each year to review what they did and how does it comport to the private placement memorandum that they pitched when they were trying to get your money. Except there is one, finally, in Houston. McCon Investments, Medina Sheikh is the owner. I've interviewed him on the air. I've reviewed the math on one of his transactions that quite a few of my clients invested in. I personally invested in that transaction. It's a trophy building in Houston. And I would suggest that if you want to work with a syndicator that understands that the timing of the returns they're projecting is every bit as important, maybe more important, than the amount. And, you know, we actually want the syndicator to make money with fees. We just want most of those fees to come after we've already received the targeted equity multiple is kind of the key metric we use. Again, I've broken it down to the month for you, 0.04 or 04630 is your target. And if you get a syndicator that's willing to give you your money back plus or including the equity multiple, that's the profits. So in Medina's case on this last transaction, he projected or targeted a 2.42 equity multiple. That's very simple math. You put $100,000 into a deal that has a 2.42 equity multiple, and in most cases, that's what you're going to hope to get is $242,000 back, including the original $100,000. But in that transaction's case, you're going to get that back before Medina gets 80% or so of the compensation, including the fees, in that transaction. That is a big change in the way that syndicators think. You're going to see more of it, I'm convinced, because this was a 693-unit transaction. This is not some guy out there doing 60 or 70-unit transactions. No, he's done five in the last 12 months that are, I believe, 20 to 25 million on the low end, and this one was 120 million on the high end. And again, quite an impressive way of doing business. We hope it's not the last syndicator we find that's willing to think and have that line out the door for the next deal, because people learn that this syndicator is doing things differently, and he's actually thinking about, you know, why should his compensation be assured without the investor that's the reason the deal can even happen, having their profits be assured. And so we applaud him for allowing the change, and we hope, again, that it's the first of many transactions to come. I think it will be due to the fact that he has the business model in place that can accommodate more than a few deals down the line here. Okay, we're at the end of the second segment. Let's go ahead and take another break. We'll be back here in a few minutes with more about the 401 trust and Roth conversions.
And you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down. Shelter of your care each day. 'Cause I am a seeker and you are a keeper. You are a leader, won't you show me the way?
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be A Planner Tax Man Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we were talking about the 401 trust just before we broke. And I guess what I want to make very clear that listeners understand is that by being a resident of the great state of Texas, you have an opportunity that most other states' residents do not have. And by that I mean that if you're working for a company, they've got a 401k that you're participating in, if you were to call your HR department up and say, hey, I heard about this ability to invest my 401 funds into real estate private partnerships, and they're going to suggest to you, well, no, you can't do that. You've got limited options under the terms of our plan to invest your money. And so then if you said, well, can I take my money out? Because I know these investments are available to me with my 401 funds. And they're going to say, well, the only way you can do that is to reach the age of 59 and a half, whereupon under most plans you'll gain access to your funds, or you can quit. You can quit your job. And, of course, you know, if you're making a reasonable amount of money and it's your main source of income for paying your bills, that's probably not an option. Although I will acknowledge at the current moment, there are a lot of people giving up their job. Why? Because they can go get another one fairly easily, making more money perhaps. But bottom line is, your two choices are to either get old, 59 and a half, which now that I'm 62, 59 and a half looks pretty good for you youngsters that are coming up on that mark. Or again, you can quit. Well, there is another option. It's just the HR department doesn't realize it. They may know about the legal tool that's involved. It's called a qualified domestic relations order. Think of it as a post-nup. It's also used where you would typically see it. And some of you that have been divorced are probably feeling the pain right now. You probably had a judge partition some of those assets over to your spouse during the divorce proceedings. Well, we use the same tool. However, there's no requirement that there be a divorce if you live in the great state of Texas. We simply have to comply with state domestic relations law. And by the way, there's an FAQ on the Department of Labor's website. Again, they govern ERISA. And if you will go just simply Google DOL Quadro, Q-D-R-O, FAQ, again, Quadro, Q-D-R-O, FAQ, DOL, whatever order you want to put those in, you're going to pull up a PDF of that FAQ, and you're going to see one of the bullet points on it is it explains there is no divorce claim required, but that you merely have to comport with state domestic relations law. We've got a fairly liberal application of community property as opposed to, say, someone that lives in the state of California, where you cannot execute a quadro unless you've got a controversy of some sort. So I guess that probably means you separated, or there's some action that has been filed that would indicate you're headed to a divorce. So we're very fortunate in the great state of Texas. And what that means is that you can repartition the assets over to the non-participant spouse in that plan. And then that spouse is able to roll those funds into a solo K or self-directed 401 trust. And then you're the trustee, you're the administrator, you make the decision on who, when, where, and how much to invest your money and what transactions, and we will help you analyze the math so you understand what you're signing up for each time you do that. Because this is, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. And if you don't understand complicated legal documents, specifically private placement memorandum, company operating agreement, and then moreover, you don't understand the lay of the land in the syndication space. You're not aware, you're not able to ascertain whether the sponsor is someone that has your interest even on the radar, or whether they're simply a fox looking to raid your chicken coop. And boy, are there a lot of the latter that will smile and you know, tell you nice things, and all the while they're looking to raid your hen house with some egregious fee structures or sharing allocation strategies where, you know, they weave these provisions into the many, many pages of a private placement memorandum or operating agreement, and you'll never know what hit you. And it affects, it mightily affects the amount of the cream or the cash flow that would otherwise come out to your interest. And you have no way of understanding what was the norm, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and still is in some parts of the syndication arena. But boy, are there a lot of transactions where the large majority, even though a deal might be postured as a, say, an 80-20 split, 80% going to the passive partner group, the investors, versus 20 to the syndicator. Well, that's just looking at one facet of the syndicator's compensation. That's what we call the promote, the override. But beyond that, many of these transactions have significant fee burdens, acquisition fees, due diligence fees, capital raise fees, debt placement fees. These are all the day zero fees. And when I say day zero, my term. I'm talking about a syndicator's walking out of closing and the title company is wiring money, big money. In some cases, you know, $2-3 million, depending on how big the transaction is and how clever the fee drain is. And that syndicator is already pulling their money out long before you're going to see some of your money. And I'm going to tell you right now, two questions you should ask if you do this on your own, which I'm suggesting I'm not going to say you're being foolish. I'm just going to say it's like anything in life. If you've never done it, pay a professional. You know, just because I can go to Home Depot and buy a Makita circular saw, that doesn't make me a carpenter any more than you being able to analyze your own private placement transactions makes you proficient in that, you know, the lingo, the financial terms involved, not to mention, is this property, are we paying a fair price for it? Is it rational that if we paid X number of dollars a door, that we're going to be able to convert that to an increase in net operating income, ergo going to be able to either refinance it when a lender looks at it and values it, or is a buyer going to be able to walk up and get a loan based on the performance of the property? Because without that, you're not going to achieve the metrics that are being pitched to you on the front end. I looked at a deal last week that was a $1.7 million purchase, and the projection was that it would double basically the investor's money in 5 years. Well, you know, on a small property, this was, I think, 24 units. I would just tell you the odds are against you. I'm not saying it couldn't happen if you hit a grand slam, if maybe there was another apartment owner, you know, two blocks away that liked your location, liked any one of a number of things about the property and decided they wanted it, didn't matter what it was going to cost. Okay, those deals happen. You know, we have clients that I know one transaction right off that was postured as being a five-year transaction. It just so happened they had an offer to sell in 6 months that returned an 80% return. It happens, but it's not the norm, and it's not ever going to be projected to occur. It wasn't in that case either. And so you really want to look at things, just kind of stand back and say, well, is this even rational that under normal circumstances, given the location, given the quality of the property, is it Class A, Class B, Class C? Do people want to live there already without the new wood-like flooring upgrade we're going to do, the new appliances? Because when you put those things in, you've got to charge for it. And most people occupying a Class C apartment that gets upgraded and now you're asking for a couple hundred dollars more a month in rent, that's going to be a heavy lift for most folks that occupy those older Class C buildings. And so, you know, there's a limited number of fish swimming around in that pond to make that happen. But in any event, by using your 401, there's a couple things. Again, I want to make sure you understand your funds. If you are married, and I'm going to say happily, and you live in the great state of Texas, you can access those funds. We will help you do it. And then you'll be in a position to review and understand the investment options to put your money in. And if you think, if you believe self-made millionaire, that you can create such a significant income stream that you will be financially free, I'm going to tell you right now, if you hang on to the 30 or 40% or maybe 50% if you're in California and keep it inside a tax deferred entity, you know, they're not all bad. I know the self-made millionaires platform acts like, you know, you've got leprosy if you don't believe what they say about cashing it out. If you don't beat your chest and be the big man in the room by thumbing your nose at the government, for some reason, that's, you know, you're not quite on their level. I'm just telling you, you will generate twice the financial freedom that they even have a chance at if you retain your funds in your family's retirement account, maybe not the one it's in now. In other words, the traditional 401 and IRA. I get it. I understand they're not necessarily huge successes the way the model was foisted on the American public back in the day. It helped the companies involved sidestep the defined benefit type pension plan. I get it. I understand. It wasn't explained perhaps the way it should have been, where you realize, gee, now I'm on the hook for my retirement. And by the way, these investments that you're letting me choose from are nothing more than marginal at best in most cases, although there were exceptions. I had clients that had their 401 and Fidelity's Magellan Fund. I don't think too many of them are complaining, but at this point, because now, of course, they're well into retirement. But bottom line is there's nothing that quite consistently returns the above average return that an investment in multifamily apartments is willing or able to generate. Let's go ahead and take our last break, and then we'll come back and talk about, so, okay, now we've got our money over into the 401 trust on a pre-tax basis. How do we get it to the Nirvana level where it's invested in Roth money so that we've taken care of the government and now all the returns are tax-free the rest of our life off those funds? We'll be right back with the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and faded jeans. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. And I like the reference to Bobby McGee there, and I guess I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but generally, if I recall correctly, it's, freedom, I believe they use some slang, for freedom ain't worth much, but it's free. Or it ain't worth nothing, but it's free. And I tell you, the brand of financial freedom that I hear on the show in front of mine and every day on KSEV, I'm going to tell you that's exactly what amateur tax advice is. It's something that you don't get charged for, but it's not worth much because typically you're told to turn left instead of turning right. And it makes you question the other things you're hearing about how you're going to, you know, become a millionaire, 10x your net worth, et cetera. And I'm not saying that's not possible. It absolutely is. And I refer people to that platform if they have the extra money, because it does have a steady stream of singles and doubles that come through, occasionally a grand slam. But in any event, it's a good way to keep your money working. And anyway, here's my lyric I was looking for. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing don't mean nothing, hun, if it ain't free. So feeling good is easy, you know, when you're told, well, it's not easy for someone writing a check for several hundred thousand dollars or so, I hear. I have my own 401 trust, so I've never had to do that. But I guess self-made millionaire didn't have to write a very big check when he cashed out what he described, self-described, as a small 401 amount. So I get it. I understand. And unfortunately, I do agree with comments that I've heard him made in the past when I was a member of that organization and a vendor for 18 years. That, you know, you want to use professionals. You don't want to use professionals that have done what they're pitching you to do. You don't want to use people that are pitching index funds or mutual funds, which may or may not be good investments. Again, think Fidelity Magellan. If that could ever happen again, boy, I'd like to have my Roth in that type of investment. But in any event, you want to use somebody that's been to the finish line on these types of investments. Well, I'm going to tell you the same thing. If you haven't been to the finish line on an in-plan Roth conversion that we're getting ready to talk about, you need to, if your advisor hasn't, you need to find somebody that has. Critical that you find somebody that understands, as an example, that once you've invested in real estate private partnership syndications, you've got the ability to convert those dollars to Roth at a discount of anywhere probably from 35 to 60, 65, maybe 70% lower than when your money's sitting at Charles Schwab or Fidelity in liquid market tradable investments. And it's not anything nefarious or gray. It's referred to as valuation of private company investments. And when you sign up for one of these transactions involving real estate private partnership syndications, there is no market. You cannot sell the interest that you hold in that partnership. The partnership, usually without your vote, because the lead partner or syndicator makes a decision on when to sell. That's when you get your money back. And so if you look at what's involved in the world of valuing investments, that's at least a 20 to 25% discount. If you look at cases that the IRS has encountered and settled or lost or won over the last 12 months, which is something we do, and you also look at the fact that you may own a 0.008, not even 1% of that investment. You're not even close, obviously, to having majority control. Your opinion, quite frankly, does not matter. That's another 20 to 25%. Discount to value. Now think about that. We've already hit 50%. So your $100,000 that you put into a transaction is now worth 50. And yet those are discounts that you or I would accept because we already understand how these transactions work. And but you know who's saying that that's a risk that has to be disclosed? It's not Nathan Ross. It's not the syndicator. God knows it's not the syndicator. He doesn't want to tell you that the investment for fair market valuation, not fair value, fair market or cost basis valuation, is half of what you just stroked a check for last week. Well, it's a good thing because it lets us undertake an in-plan Roth conversion at a huge discount to what it would be if you were in mutual funds, stocks, bonds, et cetera. So when you talk about doing a Roth conversion on $100,000 from the pre-tax side of your 401 trust over to the Roth 401 side, which is something we put in every plan that our clients adopt, you're able to do that on a much lower tax basis. In other words, the amount of money you're going to calculate tax on and send to the IRS to get that money into the Roth arena is going to be at a huge discount. And again, 35 to 70% is what we see when we do these calculations. Depends on the project and how heavy of a value add it might be, i.e. how much rehab's involved, how much land, like for instance, the transaction that I was mentioning that McConn Investments did a couple weeks ago, $120 million deal. Land value alone, this is on Memorial Parkway going into downtown, right next to St. Thomas High School. The land value alone is pushing $100 million out of the $120. Well, that would not yield you quite the discount if you were converting to Roth as, say, a beat-up old Class C out on West Park, okay, as an example. Maybe. Depends on which corner it's on. But anyway, so let's talk about the in-plan Roth conversion strategy. First of all, the Roth plan feature is required to be in the plan. It's got to be provided for. And as I mentioned, we include that in every 401 trust that we adopt. We make sure it's got it. But it's required a provision to allow for in-plan Roth conversions to even be attempted. As a participant, we can convert the entire balance or just a portion. So normally, in my client's case, we're taking one investment or two investments. We're not doing the whole account because to do that, you would get the tax bracket up. Even though the cost basis is low, you don't want to push up too far past the 22, 24% tax bracket. And so you can do all or part. And then you're required to pay your taxes at that time on your converted amount. We suggest you pay them from outside the 401 so you're not cannibalizing the geese that are laying the golden eggs. And then you've got to wait for 5 years or till you reach the age of 59 and a half to have penalty-free access to the funds. Well, that's to the earnings. The original principal, on a conversion, you'd have to wait to have access to the principal as well. You've got to wait the 5-year period. Once the pre-tax contributions are converted, you can't go back. I'm not sure why you would want to in the face of this tax train that's coming. And then you do need to understand that Roth 401s can have RMDs. In any event, we've got a minute left here, so I'm going to wrap up the show. We'll talk about this again next week. I think I've given you some basics that ought to intrigue you. And I've enjoyed this week's show. Join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., right here on KSEV for the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show, and we'll talk specifics on a couple of deals that are out there right now you might be interested in. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow or next week.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.